clicks short of a load.
thank you for the pause.
This needs to be left there, but you see, I'm not listening to this with what I care about going into a courtroom. There's nothing that transpires in our ongoing journey here that is not of utmost importance to a transitioning society of man, and that may seem a bit pompous, and it may seem a bit disrespectful, you know, to you ones who know me and recognize the higher energy from whence you flow. You know, I don't get many people on their knees, and when they get on their knees, I'm going to kick them in the fanny and tell them to get up off their knees, because they're slowing all of us in our work. And I enjoy the camaraderie of, well, when you big guys up there get your stuff together, you know, then we can move on. This is not disrespectful. This is coming into comfort one with another, the ability to trust one another, and always the knowledge of being able to rely one on another. I monitor while John and Dorma speak, you know, as they just visit here for a few minutes. And John is still completely attached to that which he's without, because by force, coercion, and meanness, he has been deprived of things. And yet he functioned just fine without those things. And he's still functioning well without those things. But we have to hearken back to the first fact involved. They were taken without his permission. And they were taken under false pretenses. And they were taken under the duress of pain and hurt. But John, like all of you, must let go of those things and let each step take its proper sequence within the laws of the land and within the compassion and givingness of God. You don't want revenge. You think you want it, but it will simply occupy your mind, your time, your being, and you don't want to waste your time at it. I felt he handled the extraterrestrial problem extremely well, but I don't really quite concur with the rescue version. On the other hand, for a court of law, in a world where you function with that expectation, it probably will have more meaning on this earthly level. But what I am working for is, we have the right man. I knew I had the right man. And he can express what every one of us wish we had. And he can express it in such a way, with the authority of a Kohen, having experienced. And in that, you have the basis of building a new society based on truth. And it doesn't require a man. It doesn't require an ET. It doesn't require an aton. It requires a recognition of connection between the source, creator, and the created. And that spiraling beauty of light that forms both and unites both. I just wanted to make that little interjection right there. I had caught it before, but I didn't know how to. And I still don't know quite what else to do with it. But we don't rely on, and yet, you know, I have a tendency to want to go back and use your term of salvation instead of rescue. He's used it properly. God's going to send you a life ring, a lifeboat, a helicopter, and we'll even send a silver ship. But we cannot make you get on it. We'll rescue you if you'll hang on. So go ahead, please.
Commander, before he starts again, if we...
Mitch is undoubtedly going to become a lawyer now.
You didn't hear that one word on tape, did you? If we can do it, do you want that part addressed and modified to more accurately represent what's been brought?
No. Let him go ahead and file these papers. I want this turned into a book with some names removed so that it can be a general volume. I believe that Lonnie Cleaver needs a recognition on this place of having written this book. And we'll take that as it comes. Man has got to have an explanation of what in the world he's doing. And you see, there will be no reason that Harvard was mentioned there. There will be no reason for Lonnie Cleaver in all of his studies to come into the knowledge that you have in this room. Why would he, unless he stumbled onto it, ever recognize that the adversary was here really basically first? So that the plan for the takeover of an entire species, not just a civilization, an entire species of manifest life form could be accomplished. And the adversary is like God in the sense that there is no time or space. If you fail this week, you just hang right in there and you never lose sight of your goal. It's easier for him because he is functioning in this sensed world that pulls you away from your goal. So we have a situation here where he would not know. He would have no reason to know in all of his societies that he is a major player within. How would he ever learn what you learn in that one motion picture on symbology? How would he know that England, that Britain, and the British are the covenant land and the covenant man? And that they are established there under the crown with the cross as head of the church. He would not know that, but this man will grasp it. And he'll be able to present it so that, quite frankly, it will not be offensive to what you consider your enemy. And when he understands that the word Jew is not a nasty word that Goyim must not use, Gentiles may not use it, I will get up here as a Jew and say, I am a Jew, and I'm going to gather all you Jews. But if EJ says Jew, that somehow has insulted me. He's an anti-Semite. And there would be no way in the line of studies that one Lonnie Cleaver would have had to realize that the Khazarian tribes came in and they're not even remotely associated with the Judaists. They stole that. And they created the terminology that would be enough like it to completely change the meaning of everything they touch. They even stole your Christ image. They turned it into a ritualistic supping of drink this. That represents my blood. That is not a spiritual, godly, off-earth term. Everybody hear me. And that is all that this brotherhood is about, is laying down the facts of the truth of it. man can continue on his journey right into the pits if he wishes to go. God will not interfere. But God has promised that he would make sure that the word of truth is available. And because of that promise, there is an agreement. And that is your security blanket. You see, the adversary is so egotistically smug that he feels that most will never bother to read it. And if you can be discounted as a cult or something, that you are no longer a threat. And this little group in Tehachapi may never be the threat to the adversary, but Alani Cleaver will be. Do you hear me? Because not the man himself, but the idea of truth laid forth in factual, educationed, structured definition and presentation from respected source. Ones want a background on Dorma. What did she do that would make her suitable for this? Nothing. I want nothing. Everybody hear me? The less focus on the person, the more ability to have ones out there realize you personally are no threat. She is no threat to anyone. And as ones come into understanding, they'll be able to throw off a lot of the misguided information. So many of these religious organizations spout the right things. And John Doe goes in there and gets his fueling in a very spiritual way. This is what is called born again. They don't know that they're born again unto a symbol, because the spiritual breaking through of this light, this understanding, this joy, this ecstasy that they so like to use as a term, this passion for this new thing that has made me feel whole for a minute, that is what you're after. It's after you get this, what do you do with it? Well, most ones will pick up the Pentecostal radio program and, oh, I must go spout it from the mountaintops and from the street corners and I'll hand out all this literature. But it will always come back to being from a church. There isn't any other way. If it is presented on earth, some man has to write it, print it. You know, maybe the hand went across the wall and wrote, but you don't see that very often. So you're stuck with this. And you have to have someone with the insight and the open-mindedness on the basis of knowingness, knowledge, flat knowledge, to be able to understand what you are about. Because you don't understand. You don't understand because you're continually petitioning, help me understand, help me comprehend so that I do thy will. And that's what it's about. When you can set yourself aside to the point that you petition God to do God's will, because you know it's the right thing to do. And then when you can let go of all those perceived things you ought to be doing because the church said so, you will be able to grow and express more fully. And each of these is one more step. You are your rescuers. That's the part, you see, where we flub just a little bit. On the other hand, he's absolutely correct. God will not leave you. You may leave God from time to time. God will not leave you and will always provide what you need for rescue. That is your security so that you can go on in knowing this, that it's going to be okay. So if you would go on, I just have to attend these things as we hit them.
Of course, these starships and their passengers are definitely not the spaceships and alien life forms popularly envisioned in science fiction. Rather, these starships are manifestations of the spiritual realm, which allows them to be perceived in but not to be limited by the physical plane. In the technical language of the Brotherhood, the starships belong to hyperspace and hypertime, whereby they can materialize with the force of perception and travel with the speed of thought. While such language may seem startling in a religious context, it differs only in conceptual vocabulary from reports of miraculous interventions and visionary appearances by spiritual beings that are commonplace in the more familiar religious traditions. Moreover, the personnel on the starships are clearly spiritual beings rather than visitors of outer space. These heavenly craft are under the direct control of Isu Jesus Sananda, who is the Christ, and Hatan, who is God in his higher self, and include other members of the hosts of heaven who are clearly spiritual beings. Therefore, these starships and their passengers must be understood in a spiritual rather than physical sense. By their own testimony, the lighted see themselves living through the events described in the apocalyptic literature in the Bible. The biblical book of Revelation describes in vivid detail the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. Example, Christ is pictured as returning on the clouds of heaven in order to rapture the saints, in order to save them from the great tribulation. The Brotherhood believes that these events will occur in our lifetime. They have changed the language of how Christ will return and rescue the righteous to fit the modern situation, but the truth remains the same for them. The hosts of heaven will return in their heavenly craft to rescue all those who have received and responded to God's truth and light. Thus, the Brotherhood meets the test of the second prong of a scholarly definition of religion, since it clearly involves a transformative quest. For them, salvation in this world or the next does not come as a mere gift from God. As noted above, the Brotherhood is unsparing in its criticism of religions old and new which offer salvation without effort. The lighted are saved from death and destruction only if they act on the truth they have been given, only if they live in the light they have received. The Brotherhood provides a supportive community. Finally, the existence of a supportive community constitutes the third prong of a scholarly definition of religion. As the foregoing discussions show, religion is not simply a private affair. Religion is a social and historical phenomenon. Despite the fact that religions take their rise and find their home in human heart, individual religious experience grows out of a religious community which conserves and communicates that religion from one person to another and from one generation to the next. As such, every religious community is organized around four distinct and interrelated dimensions. Reflecting the fact that a religious tradition has theoretical and practical as well as individual and social aspects, religious communities are structured as a social system of religious beliefs, religious practices, religious institutions, and religious leaders. Like all religions, the Brotherhood affirms a distinctive body of religious beliefs. Individual members of the Brotherhood assimilate these beliefs through extensive individual and group study of the communications from spiritual beings. Indeed, these communications provide the authoritative source for the Brotherhood's religious beliefs. As such, they carry the same authoritative weight for the lighted as does the Bible for Christians, the Torah for Jews, the Quran for Muslims, the Book of Mormon for the Church of Latter-day Saints, or Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures for the Church of Christian Science.
And don't we fit them all? We are certainly Christian. We are Semitic. We come from the tribes of Shem. We just don't have to be selective except where God is concerned. Go on, please.
like other religions, the Brotherhood maintains a distinctive body of religious practices. To be sure, there are no initiation rites for membership, nor do members ritualize events in the life cycle for birth, puberty, marriage, and death, according to any specified ceremonies of the Brotherhood. Rather, their primary religious practices are the disciplines of spiritual study and service. Both individuals and groups study the communications that come from hosts of heaven through individuals who serve as their scribes, such as Doris Ecker and others in the community. These spiritual materials unmask the forces of darkness at work in the world and unveil the sources of light available to the world. Thus equipped with true spiritual understanding of human life and contemporary culture, the lighted renders spiritual service to needy individuals and to a troubled world. Such service includes bearing witness against the false harmony and spurious healing promised by religious and political forces which are seeking to create one world order. It involves assisting others to enjoy a greater measure of good health and economic prosperity. It means preparing the lighted for survival in the face of the coming destruction of this planetary order. Like all religions, the Brotherhood is a network of like-minded and like-acting persons. This global network imposes no formal rights of membership, no hierarchical structures of leadership, and no mandatory forms of organization. Its members are bound together by their shared commitment to the teachings and practices revealed by spiritual beings through their scribes on Earth. Informal groups who meet to study these materials and to share the spiritual bonds that they create draw up their own rules and procedures. Thus, the community of the Lighted in Tehachapi have developed very few formal structures. They hold public meetings several times a month when spiritual entities communicate to the community through members of the group, including Doris Ecker. A few years ago, some members of the community established a religious corporation called the Church of the Word, which distributes audio tapes of the public meetings to individuals in the wider network. But participation is voluntary, membership is open, and structure is fluid in this distinctive religious community. As a loosely structured religious movement with no formal institutional organization, the Brotherhood has not developed a range of religious specialists found in older religious traditions. Indeed, the classical roles of healer, saint, prophet, reformer, priest, and teacher are filled by the hosts of heaven. But the earthly scribes do play a central role in this particular religious movement. To be sure, the scribes' authority is bestowed rather than earned. But the scribes are the vehicles through which the truth and light of God is revealed to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Conclusion. By reason of my professional training and the scholarly research which is summarized above, I am convinced that the beliefs and practices of members of the Brotherhood, including those of E.J. and Doris Ecker, constitute a religion in all proper respects of the word. Like many new religions who challenge existing religions, members of the Brotherhood may be reluctant to call themselves a religion because of the errors and abuses they find in the established religions. But their beliefs and practices exhibit all the classical marks of a religion: a spiritual worldview, a transformative quest, and a supportive community. Moreover, based upon my personal contact, I believe that the Eckers and other members of the community whom I interviewed are sincere in their religious beliefs. To be sure, the Brotherhood's beliefs and practices are distinctive and unfamiliar, as befitting a new religion that combines the spirituality of Eastern religions and the millenniumism of Western religions in a pan-denominational movement that supplants more familiar religious traditions. Nevertheless, the Brotherhood clearly meets all aspects of a scholarly definition of any religious tradition. Executed on November 17, 1994 in Dallas, Texas, signed Professor Lonnie D. Cleaver.
That really doesn't need any follow-up except for the listeners. The reason that names appear is because there is a court case. This is written, constructed for a specific court situation. In any instance where you have a name inserted, such as Doris and E.J. Ecker, it could be Sandy and Rod Enns or Rick Martin or any one of you, We're just in this together. And that does make us brothers. And no matter how we try to hide from the stigma, if you will, of having to function in a world where everything has to have a label, religion is going to get tossed about. On the other hand, that is your First Amendment. You shall have the right to the freedom of your choice in religion and speech. And that's what you're about. And that's what your constitutional rights are about. And the only reason that everybody doesn't believe the same thing is because of all this tearing down, breaking down of truth and covering it with lies that men construct. And the doctrines. No, to get into the inner sanctum, you've got to tithe. And you've got to give me copies of your tax returns because I know the IRS and the BATF and the SWAT teams will be after you if you don't pay them their fair share. And then they set rules aside for themselves and nobody questions them. And they set up their little clubs where nobody questions them until somebody gets mad at you and then they'll cut your throat. You must live within what is. You do not have to accept the intent or the belief to use the laws of the land. And it just takes a long time to get there so that ones understand. And it takes a long time to pull in the ones who understand well enough or open enough to see the unfolding of truth to write the book of life and truth. And some of you who will have struggled along here will get to that end, and most of you by that time will say, oh, thank God somebody else has got it. But you see, at some point in history will come somebody else who will say, oh, well, I can get power if I can get these people to quit believing the truth here. And we'll begin to shift it off and shift it off. And, well, I better translate this into another language. We have a Tower of Babel. I will translate and tell them what to believe. And then they will have to come to me. And you start this incredible cycle all over again. That's all right. That is the pattern of the universal law of cause and effect and spiraling evolution. And each must express, each must learn. Where are you going to do it? You're going to do it on the stage of manifested physical expression. This is where you're learning. This is where you're learning to be creator. Creation is a positive aspect you pull from what is all about you and manifest. And you learn to create through what is around you in a positive aspect. You create what you need to get to the higher understanding. And to get there, you're going to have known what came before. Even if it's a cross symbol up through a crown